We turn to Acts chapter 2.
Kita melihat kisah para rasul pasal kedua.
And verse 22.
Ayat ke-22.
Can I read straight through?
Yeah.
Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on the throne, his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we all are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself said, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And so reads the holy word of God.
Begitu bunyinya firman Allah dari ayat 22 sampai akhir pasal itu.
This morning we have before us the example of the very first New Testament church in Jerusalem.
Kita dapati di sini contoh jemaat yang pertama dalam Alkitab.
And this church was being added to daily by those who gladly received the word, the gospel.
Dan jemaat ini setiap hari ditambah jumlahnya mereka yang sudah percaya.
They received it wholeheartedly by faith.
Mereka menerima firman Allah dengan sepenuh hati.
They believed it to be the word of God, the word of life to them.
Mereka percaya apa yang didengarin itu benar-benar dari Allah.
And the power of the Holy Spirit was working in people's lives, and they came under conviction of sin.
Roh Kudus bekerja dengan kuat di dalam hati mereka sampai mereka terasa dosa mereka.
God's power was blessing the simple gospel message in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Kuasa Allah sedang bekerja memberkati firman-Nya yang bekerja di dalam orang yang mendengar.
Repent of your sin. Believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
And
be baptized.
And, be baptized.
And you will receive forgiveness of sin and the continued blessing of the Holy Spirit of God.
And kamu akan menerima pengampunan dosa dan juga Roh Kudus yang dijanjikan.
And as a result of your conversion, you're called by grace. Take up your cross in obedience and follow Christ.
Dan selanjutnya setelah percaya, ambillah salibmu dan ikut Yesus Kristus.
And the Holy Spirit bless this message of the gospel.
Dan Roh Kudus memberkati berita yang disampaikan itu.
And the ongoing teaching ministry that was being given to the people.
Dan juga ajaran yang selanjutnya diberikan.
And it bore the fruit of Christian love.
Dan menyebabkan ada buah kasih dalam Kristus.
Commitment and service.
Dan juga komitmen dan pelayanan.
We read that they continued steadfastly. They were devoted to these truths.
Kita membaca bahwa mereka berpegang dan ajaran dan secara sungguh-sungguh mereka ikutnya.
These early New Testament believers were committed to Christ.
Orang percaya yang awal ini mereka memang benar terkomit kepada Yesus Kristus.
And there's a number of characteristics of this early New Testament church.
Terdapat beberapa sifat-sifat mengenai orang yang awal percaya pada awal ini.
So if you look at verse 42,
lihatlah ayat ke 32.
42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine.
Mereka bertekun dalam pengajaran rasul-rasul.
So there was a steadfast commitment to truth.
Mereka secara tekun ada komitmen terhadap apa yang benar.
They were a learning church.
Jemaat ini jemaat yang suka belajar.
The apostles taught according to the word and the will of God.
Rasul mengajar menurut kehendak dan firman Allah.
The Holy Spirit was inspiring the apostles in a particular way.
Roh Kudus sedang mengilhami para rasul dalam cara yang tersendiri.
And the church in Jerusalem persevered steadfastly in the teaching of the apostles.
Jadi di Yerusalem itu berpegang teguh kepada firman Allah itu.
These were the pioneers of New Testament church order.
Mereka ini seperti penjangkau, pioneer.
They were earnestly committed and diligent in their commitment to the apostles' doctrine and practice.
Mereka ini sungguh-sungguh dan bertekun menaati firman Allah itu.
They committed themselves to the truth of God.
Mereka komit diri kepada apa yang benar dari Allah.
And so we are called to this same commitment to the truth of the word of God.
Kita juga terpanggil untuk ada komitmen sebegitu juga kepada firman Allah.
We do not have an added truth or a revised truth.
Kita tidak ada kebenaran yang bertambah atau berkurang.
Not a change in truth, but the enduring word of God, truth of God.
Bukan kebenaran yang senantiasa berubah, tetapi firman Allah yang tak berubah.
If you turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 2.
Lihatlah Efesus pasal kedua.
And verse 19.
Ayat ke-19.
Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit.
Ayat 19 sampai ke 22.
And you see here the foundation principles of this early New Testament church.
Kita dapati ini fondasi dasar kepada jemaat awal ini.
After the day of Pentecost, 3,000 believers needed teaching and building up in the faith.
Jadi setelah berlakunya itu Pentecostal itu 3,000 umat yang perlukan ajaran.
And these believers were willing to learn. They were willing to submit to the teaching of the Word of God.
Mereka sanggup belajar. Mereka sanggup sujud kepada kehendak Allah.
They were willing to commit themselves to doctrine.
Mereka sanggup commit diri kepada firman Allah.
Now this is a very important point for us to realize this morning.
Ini satu perkara yang sangat penting untuk kita memahami.
This was an amazing awakening.
Ini suatu kebangkitan yang luar biasa.
Here the Holy Spirit came down in power.
Di sini Roh Kudus turun dengan kuasa besar.
3,000 people were converted.
3,000 sekali bertobat.
And what was the first fruit of these people?
Dan apakah buah yang pertama?
They wanted to commit themselves to the truth, to the Word of God.
Mereka ingin komit diri kepada firman Allah.
They didn't want to commit themselves to emotion.
Mereka tidak mau komit diri kepada emosi.
An excitement.
Atau hiburan.
They wanted to commit themselves to the truth.
Tetapi kepada firman Allah.
So when people speak to you and say, well, because you don't have excitement in your church is not a spirit-filled church.
Mungkin orang kata kepada anda, jemaatmu ini tidak ada yang menghiburkan, maka Roh Kudus tidak berada di sana.
Take them to Acts chapter 2.
Bawalah mereka tunjukkan pasal kedua para rasul.
The day of Pentecost.
Pada hari Pentecosta.
And show them what was the fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Tunjukkan kepada mereka apakah dia buah kerja Roh Kudus.
The believers were hungry for the Word of God.
Mereka itu berpegang tekun kepada firman Allah.
They were hungry for the truth.
Mereka itu lapar untuk mendengar firman.
They were a learning church.
Mereka ini jemaat yang ingin belajar.
And that is why we hold the Word of God central to our worship services.
Itulah sebabnya kita pegang firman Allah ini sebagai sesuatu yang utama dalam kebaktian kita.
Back in England now,
di Inggris sekarang ini,
most churches just have a 20-minute sermon.
Kebanyakan jemaat-jemaat ada hanya 20 minit saja menyampaikan firman.
But we preach for 40-45 minutes here at our church.
Tetapi kami menyampaikan firman Allah selama 40-45 minit.
Yesterday morning, our brother Dr. Poe preached for 2 hours. So.
Pagi kemarin ini kita mendengar selama hampir berita yang disampaikan hampir 2 jam.
He took us from Genesis to Revelation.
Dia membawa kita dari Kejadian sampai ke Wahyu.
We started in the fall.
Kita bermula pada kejatuhan.
And we ended up in heaven.
Kita tiba di syurga.
And the one in the middle was Jesus Christ.
Dan di tengah-tengah ialah Yesus Kristus.
Amen.
Amen.
But then there was a steadfast commitment to fellowship.
Kedua ialah mereka berpegang tekun kepada persekutuan.
They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship.
Mereka bertekun dalam pengajaran rasul-rasul dalam persekutuan.
This was Christ-centered mutual affection.
Ini ialah saling kasih yang memusat pada Kristus.
Christian fellowship is two-dimensional.
Persekutuan dalam Kristus itu berdimensi dua.
The first dimension is our relationship between ourselves and God.
Dimensi pertama ialah perhubungan kita bersama dengan Allah.
And the second part is our relationship with one another.
Dan kedua ialah perhubungan kita sesatu satu sama lain.
To have true Christian fellowship, it has to be two-dimensional.
Untuk adanya persekutuan benar itu, yang sejati itu harus ada dua dimensi.
It has to be vertical before it can be horizontal.
Harus dia lurus dan dia juga mendatar.
We must first know the reality of fellowship with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ.
Sama kita harus ada realitas perhubungan dengan Allah Bapa dan anaknya.
And from this comes the unique fellowship between the Lord's people.
Dan dari itu terdapat persekutuan di antara umat Allah itu yang unik.
In the first New Testament church at Jerusalem, this Christ-centered mutual affection was an essential part of their life.
Jadi dalam gereja awal yang pertama itu terdapat persekutuan dalam Kristus yang unik itu.
And if you are a spiritually minded person, you will enjoy Christ-centered mutual fellowship.
Sekiranya anda ini orang yang saleh, anda akan suka senang dengan persekutuan dalam Kristus macam itu.
And this fellowship can be nurtured as we share with one another what God has shown us from His Word.
Persekutuan ini dapat kita tumbuhkan, besarkan lagi, luaskan lagi. Satu sama lain.
How God has answered your prayers.
Contohnya Allah menggenapi doa kita.
Has God has sustained you in trial and temptation?
Adakah Allah sudah pun memelihara kita dalam pencobaan dan juga dalam kesengsaraan?
And in the ups and downs of life, God has remained the same.
Dan dalam segala liku kehidupan kita, turun naik itu Allah bersama.
Some battles have been won and some lost.
Sesetengah perjuangan itu kita kalah, tewas. Sesetengahnya kita menang.
But we fellowship together.
Tetapi kita bersekutu satu sama lain.
We encourage one another in the Lord.
Kita saling mendorong satu sama lain.
In the English language,
dalam bahasa Inggris,
it's most remarkable in the New Testament letters.
Ini terdapat dalam surat-surat dalam Perjanjian Baru.
To see the amount of times one another is mentioned.
Berapa kali satu sama lain itu disebut dalam Perjanjian Baru?
Recently, I've done a complete series, midweek series, on these two words, one another.
Baru-baru ini saya mengajar jemaat saya hanya berasas pada dua perkataan ini, satu sama yang lain.
There's over 20 one another's in the New Testament.
Terdapat lebih dari 20 kali di mana dua perkataan dalam bahasa Inggris satu sama lain dipakai dalam Perjanjian Baru.
Things like love one another.
Contohnya kasih satu sama lain.
Pray for one another.
Berdoa untuk satu sama lain.
There's so many, and it all the time the apostles are Peter and John and Paul are reminding us we're together in a body.
Setiap kali para rasul itu, Petrus, Yohanes dan Paulus itu mengingatkan kita, kita ini satu sama lain.
And it's a great blessing if spiritual fellowship is one of the fruits of your meetings together.
Sekiranya ini satu hasil dari iman kita itu satu yang senang sekali, baik sekali untuk kita.
This is what God means his people to enjoy.
Inilah yang Allah ingin kita menikmati.
To encourage and edify and admonish one another.
Untuk mendorong dan juga mengingatkan satu sama lain.
In Canada, there are redwood forests, big forests.
Di Kanada terdapat sejenis itu hutan di mana pohon-pohonnya dipanggil redwood, itu kayu merah.
And these are some of the oldest forests in the world.
Ini adalah di antara hutan-hutan yang tertua di dunia.
Some have been living for over 2,000 years.
Yang ada pohon-pohon di sana itu selama 2,000 tahun tuanya.
And they've withstood hundreds of storms.
Dan mereka sudah pun berdiri sungguh pun menghadapi banyak angin ribut.
And this is the secret of their strength.
Dan apakah rahsia kekuatan mereka?
The roots of the trees are all intertwined together.
Akar-akar pokok-pokok ini semua terlipat satu sama lain.
So when the storm comes, it's not just one tree that's being blown against.
Ini sekiranya berlaku ribut itu angin kuat meniup, bukan satu pohon saja yang ditiup.
The wind is having to blow all the trees. They're all locked in together.
Angin yang kuat itu bertiup, tetapi bukan satu pohon yang ditiup. Semua pohon itu, akar mereka itu terikat satu sama lain. Jadi seluruh hutan yang ditiup.
And they withstand together.
Itulah sebabnya mereka dapat berdiri bersama.
And it's a great blessing If we are like that as a church.
Ini adalah berkat besar kalau jemaat kita semacam itu.
So when Satan comes to attack,
sekiranya Satan menghambat kita,
we're together.
Kita bersama.
We're bound together.
Kita terikat bersama.
We're united together in Christ.
Kita bersatu dalam Kristus.
Well, these people devoted themselves to fellowship.
Mereka itu bertumpu kepada persekutuan.
But then there was a steadfast commitment to the Lord's Supper.
Kemudian terdapat juga mereka bertekun berpegang kepada perjamuan Allah, perjamuan Tuhan.
They continued steadfastly in the breaking of bread.
Mereka itu bertekun ada memecahkan roti dan berdoa.
They were a remembering church.
Mereka itu satu jemaat yang senantiasa mengingatkan Tuhan.
Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me."
Yesus berkata, "Buatlah ini supaya ingatkan aku."
So the keeping of the Lord's Supper was a significant element of early New Testament church practice.
Jadi adakan perjamuan Allah itu satu dari karakter yang penting dalam jemaat awal ini.
It was an act of worship and praise to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Ini sesuatu yang dibuat untuk menyembah Tuhan Yesus Kristus.
We can see later in Acts how this the Lord's Supper was linked to a worship service of the locally gathered church.
Kita lihat kemudiannya bahwa perjamuan Allah itu, perjamuan Tuhan itu ada kaitan dengan kebaktian mereka.
And this was these services were held on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week.
Kebaktian ini diadakan pada hari pertama, yaitu hari Tuhan.
This was a pattern set by the apostles.
Ini satu pattern atau model yang disampaikan kepada kita oleh Tuhan Yesus.
If you turn with me to Acts chapter 20 and verse 7.
Kita lihat kisah Rasul pasal 20.
Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight.
Hari pasal ke-20 itu ayat ke-7, pada hari pertama dalam minggu itu ketika kami berkumpul untuk memecahkan roti.
That wasn't a 20-minute sermon, was it?
Itu Paulus tidak berbicara hanya untuk 20 minit saja.
The point being here is to respect the significance of regularly remembering the Lord's death.
Apa yang kita mau perhatikan ialah kita ingin senantiasa mengingati Tuhan kita melalui lewat itu perjamuan Tuhan itu.
It brings honor to the name of Christ and it is beneficial for our souls.
Ini membawa kepada kemuliaan Tuhan Kristus dan juga kebaikan hati kita.
But then we see that they were also steadfastly committed to prayer.
Mereka juga berpegang teguh kepada doa.
They were a praying church.
Mereka itu satu jemaat yang senantiasa berdoa.
And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers.
Mereka selalu berkumpul untuk memecah roti dan berdoa.
So often we are reminded in Scripture how prayer was the very life of believers and the church.
Kita senantiasa diingatkan dalam Alkitab bahwa doa itu adalah kehidupan untuk sesuatu jemaat Kristus.
This would have included commitment to private family prayer and the meetings for prayer of the gathered believers.
Ini termasuklah doa secara pribadi dan dalam keluarga, tetapi juga secara satu jemaat.
We get a glimpse of Paul's steadfast commitment to prayer in his letters.
Kita dapati ini terdapat dalam tulisan Paulus.
He says in his letter to the Romans, "I make mention of you always in my prayers."
Dia berkata kepada orang jemaat di Roma, "Aku senantiasa mengingatimu dalam doa."
And again in Ephesians, "Making mention of you in my prayers."
Begitu juga dalam suratnya ke Efesus, dia kata, "Aku senantiasa ingatkanmu dalam doa."
And in Colossians, "Always praying for you."
Begitu juga di Kolose, "Aku senantiasa berdoa untukmu."
In 1 Thessalonians, "Making mention of you in my prayers."
1 Thessalonica, dia kata, "Aku senantiasa menyebut mengenaimu dalam doa."
They were a praying church.
Mereka itu jemaat-jemaat yang berdoa.
Let us keep these words in mind then, continuing steadfastly.
Janganlah kita lupakan perkataan-perkataan ini.
As a learning church,
mereka kita harus berpegang kepada ajaran bahawa jemaat kita harus ingin belajar.
A fellowship in church,
jemaat yang bersekutu.
A remembering church,
jemaat yang mengingatkan.
And a praying church,
dan juga jemaat yang berdoa.
But then they were a God-fearing church.
Kemudian terdapat juga mereka takutkan Allah.
Verse 43, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles.
Ketakutanlah mereka semua, sedangkan rasul-rasul itu mengadakan banyak mukjizat dan tanda.
Now the apostolic era was a very special time in the life of the church.
Era para rasul itu agak luar biasa, ya, istimewa.
And God in His sovereignty so ordained that they should be their ministry should be accompanied with signs and wonders.
Allah memang sudah menentukan bahwa zaman itu di berita yang disampaikan itu didampingi oleh mujizat dan tanda-tanda.
But there was a sense of reverence and awe about these events.
Tetapi terdapat keadaan di mana orang-orang di sana rasa ketakutan dan juga menghormati.
They were not man-centered.
Mereka itu tak memusat pada manusia.
You don't read of Peter and Paul calling revival meetings.
Kita tidak membaca bahwa Paulus atau Petrus menganjurkan pertemuan revival itu, kebangkitan.
You don't read of them calling healing meetings.
Mereka tidak adakan pertemuan untuk penyembuhan.
They simply preached the gospel and God accompanied it with signs and wonders.
Menyampaikan berita Injil sahaja.
It's so different than today's jamboree of contemporary so-called signs and wonders.
Beda sekali dengan keadaan sekarang ini, di mana banyak jemaat yang menganjurkan ada jamboree pertemuan ini dan itu.
But more important than the reverence and fear for the signs and wonders,
lebih dari ketakutan dan sifat menghormati itu dan mujizat yang luar biasa itu,
was the reverence and fear for the conversions that were going on in Jerusalem.
Mereka itu ada ketakutan dan hormat kerana inginkan banyak jiwa yang terus diselamatkan.
Because a sinner saved is the greatest sign and wonder.
Ini adalah kerana satu saja orang berdosa yang terselamat itu adalah sesuatu yang memuliakan Allah.
Imagine the impact on the city.
Pikirkan kesannya, pengaruhnya kepada orang yang melihat.
3,000 people truly converted, lives transformed by the power of God.
3,000 orang pada hari yang sama bertobat dan kehidupan mereka berubah.
They were hungry for the word of God.
Mereka itu lapar inginkan firman Allah.
They were seeking to be Christ-like.
Mereka rindukan menjadi lebih lagi mirip Yesus Kristus.
And all this so soon after the people of the same city had said, "Crucify him, crucify him."
Dan ini semua berlaku tidak lama setelah mereka itu inginkan Yesus disalibkan. Mereka bersorak, salibkan dia.
The point being for us today is to remember that a person saved by grace is the greatest miracle of all.
Yang kita mau sampaikan di sini ialah seseorang yang bertobat itu, berubah kehidupannya, itu satu mujizat yang paling besar sekali.
A sign and wonder of God's grace.
Ini tanda mujizat bahwa kasih karunia Allah sedang nampak.
Jesus taught this when he healed the paralytic man.
Yesus mengajar hal ini sewaktu dia menyembuhkan orang yang lumpuh itu.
The power required to forgive a person their sins is far greater than the power to heal a man.
Kuasa untuk mengampunkan dosa seseorang itu jauh lebih besar dari kuasa untuk menyembuhkannya dari kesakitannya.
But then we see that this church was also committed to care.
Dan di mana ini juga komit diri kepada saling prihatin.
In verses
44-45.
Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need.
Semua orang telah menjadi percaya, tetap bersatu dan segala kepunyaan mereka adalah kepunyaan bersama dan selalu ada dari mereka yang menjual harta milik lalu membagi-bagi kepada semua orang.
The early church were willing to give of their own substance to brothers and sisters in need.
Jemaat awal itu, ya, mereka sanggup menjualkan barang-barang mereka, mereka sanggup membagi-bagikan harta mereka sesama anggota jemaat.
The need dictated the giving.
Kebutuhan itu menentukan pemberian.
There was wise stewardship of resources.
Mereka itu memegang kepada harta dengan rasa bertanggungjawab.
Now, this text is not advocating that we all pool our resources and live in a separate commune.
Ayat-ayat ini bukan mengajar kita hidup dalam satu commune di mana kita membagi segala harta.
But rather it means to have a common desire to help and support one another sacrificially.
Tetapi yang diajar di sini ialah kita ada kerinduan bersama, ingin saling membantu.
So those that were financially better off would be willing to share of their substance with the poor.
Mereka yang lebih kaya sanggup membagikan harta mereka dengan mereka yang lebih miskin.
And many of them opened their homes so that the worship services could be held in the courtyards of their home.
Namun mereka, banyak di antara mereka yang membiarkan rumah mereka dan ruang depan rumah mereka dipakai untuk pertemuan.
Early on, they didn't have buildings like we did.
Waktu itu, mereka tidak ada bangunan seperti kita.
They had to worship in people's homes.
Mereka terpaksa adakan kebaktian di rumah-rumah.
And the wealthy ones opened their courtyards for these services.
Dan mereka yang lebih kaya itu membiarkan rumah mereka dipakai untuk pertemuan.
But then we see they were a united church.
Kemudiannya kita dapati mereka itu bersatu.
Verse 46, so they continued daily with one accord in the temple.
Kita baca dalam ayat ke-46 dan bertekun tiap-tiap hari dalam bait Allah.
There's undoubtedly a link between unity and blessing.
Sudah nyata sekali ada kaitan di antara, ada hubungan di antara kesatuan dan juga berkat.
There was a steadfast commitment to unity.
Ada mereka komit secara tekun kepada kesatuan.
Please turn with me to Psalm 133.
Kita baca Mazmur 133.
Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore.
Jadi Mazmur 133 itu mengajar mengenai betapa berkatnya kita bersatu.
You see the connection here between unity and blessing.
Kita dapati hubungan itu nyata sekali di antara persekutuan, kesatuan dan juga berkat.
There is a unity in the Word of God.
Terdapat kesatuan dalam firman Allah.
There is a unity in Christ Jesus the Lord.
Terdapat kesatuan dalam Yesus Kristus.
I want to illustrate it this way.
Biar saya gambarkannya semacam ini.
I once went to a factory that were manufacturing pianos.
Saya ada pergi ke suatu tempat di mana mereka itu sedang membuat itu piano.
And in one room there were lots of pianos for demonstration.
Dalam satu tempat itu, kamar itu terdapat banyak piano yang di mana mereka biarkan untuk sebagai pameran dilihat orang.
And I asked the man, how do you tune all these pianos?
Saya tanyakan orang di sana, bagaimana anda apa menentukan itu, memperbaiki bunyi-bunyi piano itu?
It's interesting because I thought perhaps he would tune the first piano and then all the other pianos to that piano.
Because saya dia akan menentukan, menetapkan bunyi satu piano dan membiarkan yang lain itu ikut bunyi yang pertama itu.
But he said he had this special tuning fork.
Tapi katanya dia ada apa alat yang tertentu untuk mendapatkan bunyi yang tetap.
And all the pianos were tuned to that same standard.
Dan semua piano-piano di sana itu ditetapkan sama dengan alat itu.
They were not tuned to one another.
Mereka bukan ditetapkan bunyinya satu kepada yang lain.
They were all tuned to the same tuning fork.
Tetapi semua piano itu ditetapkan bunyinya kepada alat itu.
And this is a secret of unity in a church.
Ini rahsia kesatuan dalam sesuatu jemaat.
It's not that we're tuned to one another.
Bukannya sahaja kita menetapkan diri satu kepada yang lain sebegitu.
We're all tuned to Jesus Christ.
Tetapi kita semuanya ditetapkan sifat kita kepada Yesus Kristus.
We're all tuned to the Word of God.
Kita semua ditetapkan kepada Firman Allah.
And our unity comes as we look to Jesus Christ.
Dan kesatuan kita itu terjadi kerana kita melihat kepada Yesus Kristus.
And as we focus upon His Word.
Dan sambil kita fokus kepada Firman Allah.
And that's how our unity is helped and blessed.
Dan dengan cara itu kesatuan dalam jemaat itu dapat dipelihara, dan itu yang terjadi.
Because if Christ is not at the center of our unity.
Ini kerana kalau Kristus bukan di tengah-tengah kesatuan kita.
We do not have spiritual unity.
Kita tidak ada kesatuan yang rohani.
We simply have a social gathering.
Kita hanya ada pertemuan sosial saja.
But then there was a steadfast commitment to hospitality.
Kemudian terdapat apa mereka berpegang tekun kepada
In verse 46 we read
46.
Breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart.
Mereka memecahkan roti di rumah masing-masing secara bergilir dan makan bersama-sama dengan gembira.
Now it is thought here that the breaking of bread here is not referring to the Lord's Supper, but simply to them having hospitality together in their homes.
Di sini, para itu ahli Alkitab berkatalah sedemikian. Pendapat umumnya ialah ini bukannya perjamuan Tuhan, tetapi ini makan di rumah masing-masing.
That the breaking of bread mentioned earlier was linked to a worship service.
Yang disebut awal tadi dalam ayat awal itu makan roti itu ialah perjamuan Tuhan.
But I want us to notice here how they went about their hospitality.
Di sini bagaimanakah mereka menunjukkan betapa ramah tamahnya mereka terhadap satu sama lain.
They ate it with gladness and simplicity of heart.
Mereka dengan gembira dan dengan tulus hati mereka adakan perjamuan semacam ini.
They were thankful to the Lord for their blessings.
Mereka rasa syukur kepada Allah atas berkatnya.
They were glad in their hospitality.
Mereka gembira sambil apa menghidangkan sajian mereka itu.
And they were sincere in their motives for hospitality.
Mereka itu berhati tulus dalam sambil menjamu tamu mereka.
They were lovers of hospitality.
Mereka itu sukakan apa perjamuan semacam itu.
But then they also were a praising church.
Satu lagi ialah mereka itu senantiasa mengangkat puji kepada Allah.
We come to our final verse.
Kita lihat ayat terakhir.
Praising God.
Memuji Allah.
So praise has an essential part of Christian living.
Jadi memuji itu adalah satu sifat yang penting untuk sesuatu jemaat.
Notice here that it's in the continuing sense, praising God.
Kita kita dapati dari apa tata bahasanya, it is mereka senantiasa memuji.
In those early days of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there was actually daily worship services.
Pada waktu itu, setelah Roh Kudus turun, mereka sebenarnya ada kebaktian pada setiap hari.
It would seem that when the work had finished for the day, that they gathered again each day for worship.
Diketahui umum bahwa setiap hari setelah mereka bekerja, mereka bertemu untuk adakan kebaktian.
This was a time of revival.
Ini satu kebangkitan rohani.
And we find in these times of revival, this desire to be together, to worship God.
Dalam kebangkitan rohani semacam ini, memang ada kerinduan mereka bersama untuk memuji Allah.
Their whole lives were captivated and governed by praise and fellowship.
Seluruh hidup mereka itu dikawal oleh keinginan mau memuji Allah dan bersama bersekutu.
So this early New Testament church,
jadi jemaat dalam perjanjian baru ini,
was a reverent worshiping church.
Ini sesuatu jemaat yang reverent, yang memuliakan Allah.
And a rejoicing church.
Mereka juga bergembira.
And the point being that reverence and rejoicing go hand in hand together.
Jadi mau memuliakan Allah dan kegembiraan di dalam hati itu bersama.
They can harmonize together.
Mereka ini seperti berharmoni.
But then they were also were an evangelistic church.
Dan lagi pun mereka itu satu jemaat yang ingin menginjil.
Having favor with all the people.
Mereka disukai semua orang.
These Christians, under the divine influence of God, had an effect upon the community.
Orang-orang Kristian ini didorong Allah sehingga mereka ada kesannya, ada pada seperti pengaruh pada masyarakat mereka.
People realized that these Christians really meant what they said.
Mereka tahu orang-orang Kristian ini sungguh-sungguh dalam apa yang mereka sampaikan.
It's interesting to read in the history how these Christians were described.
Kita dapati dari catatan sejarah bagaimana orang-orang Kristian purba ini disampaikan kepada kita.
One of the historians describes the Christians, this is a new people.
Satu pakar sejarah berkata mereka ini satu kumpulan orang yang baru.
They've not seen anything like it before.
Aku tidak pernah melihat orang semacam ini.
Their actions went with their words.
Apa yang dibuat mereka sama dengan apa yang mereka mengaku.
The people around them noticed.
Orang di kalangan mereka itu dapat melihat hal ini.
Later, the church was persecuted terribly.
Kemudiannya, jemaat gereja itu dianiayai dengan parah.
But in these early days here, there was a favor that they had with the people.
Tapi pada waktu awal itu, orang ramai sukakan mereka.
But this is a picture on how the early New Testament church evangelized.
Ini satu gambaran bagaimana gereja purba itu menginjili.
How did the church go about its evangelism?
Bagaimanakah gereja purba itu menjalankan penjangkauan?
There would undoubtedly have been the evangelistic preaching of the word of God.
Sudah tentu adanya pertemuan di mana Injil disampaikan.
How did they go about that outreach?
Tetapi bagaimana mereka menjangkau?
It seems that they simply lived godly lives and people noticed.
Seperti mereka ini hanya hidup taat kepada Allah dan orang melihat dan mereka mengecamkan bahwa ini.
Their example raised questions in people's lives.
Contoh kehidupan mereka menyebabkan orang-orang lain tanya-tanya apakah kehidupan mereka ini.
They were a joyful people.
Mereka ini orang yang bergembira.
These people were a peaceful people.
Mereka ini orang yang sukakan damai.
And it showed on their faces.
Dan ini terlihat pada wajah mereka.
And they showed their love by their actions.
Dan mereka menunjukkan kasih satu sama lain melalui perbuatan mereka.
and people began to talk with them.
Dan mereka mulai berbicara dengan orang Kristen.
What has changed your life?
Apakah yang telah menyebabkan perubahan dalam hidupmu?
And they were able to share about Jesus Christ.
Mereka ada kesempatan untuk menyaksi dan bagi dengan orang-orang ini.
And I think this example might be a great help to us in this day and age.
Mungkin ini boleh menjadi satu bantuan kepada kita dalam zaman kita ini.
Because we have learned, haven't we, about the introduction of the conversion law.
Kita sudah dengar bagaimana setengah negara adanya undang-undang yang menyekat perkembangan Kristen.
And it seems in the early New Testament church that their evangelism was done simply by just one-to-one witness.
Jadi seperti kita baca di sini, waktu itu orang Kristen dia satu dengan yang lain, satu persatu mereka menyaksi.
Later on, there was severe persecution.
Kemudiannya terjadi penganiayaan yang parah.
And the people were scattered all over Europe.
Dan orang yang percaya itu terselerak ke seluruh Eropah.
And Satan perhaps thought, I've won the victory.
Iblis mungkin fikir, aku sudah menang.
I've scattered thousands and thousands of Christians.
Aku sudah menyebabkan Kristen yang sebanyak itu terselerak.
But you know what Satan did?
Tetapi adakah anda tahu apa yang telah dibuat oleh Iblis itu?
He scattered thousands and thousands of evangelists.
Dia sebenarnya menyebabkan terseleraknya banyak penginjil.
Because these people carried on.
Ini kerana orang-orang ini sambil terselerak di merata mereka menginjil.
But then finally this morning,
akhir sekali,
they were a dependent church.
Mereka ini jemaat yang bersandar.
They could have become a proud church.
Mereka kemungkinan menjadi angkuh.
Imagine how we would feel if on one sermon God so blessed it that it affected hundreds and hundreds of people.
Cuba pikirkan, sekiranya kita ada dalam sesuatu pertemuan dan dalam satu pertemuan saja sudah beratusan orang yang terpengaruh, yang mau percaya.
Oh, we might say, as a great preacher.
Kita akan kata orang pengkhotbah itu handal, hebat sekali dia.
But that's not what happened here.
Tetapi kita tidak membaca hal ini terjadi waktu itu.
It is recorded that the Lord added to the church.
Yang tercatat ialah Tuhan yang menambah kepada jumlah anggota di sana.
Those who were being saved.
Orang yang terselamat.
Those ordained by the sovereign God unto eternal life.
Orang yang terpilih Allah untuk mendapat kehidupan kekal.
Always remember this, the Lord added.
Kita senantiasa mau ingat, Tuhan yang menambah kepada jemaat.
The increase was all of God.
Pertambahan itu datangnya dari Allah.
The Lord was blessing their labors.
Tuhan sedang memberkati pekerjaan mereka.
Not every day was a Pentecost day.
Bukan setiap hari itu hari Pentecosta.
But each day the church was growing.
Tapi setiap hari jemaat itu bertumbuh.
Now, we need to remember this important point.
Kita ingatlah perkara penting ini.
That at this point in the history of the church, the church was only in Jerusalem.
Di saat ini, gereja berada di Jerusalem saja.
And we think it's amazing. Daily people are being converted.
Ini luar biasa sekali, pada setiap hari orang bertambah kepada jemaat itu.
Daily people are being saved.
Setiap hari orang bertobat.
But it's still happening today.
Tapi ini masih berlaku pada hari ini.
God's power hasn't diminished one iota.
Kuasa Allah tidak pernah pun berkurangan sedikit pun.
Because now His church is throughout the world.
Sekarang jemaatnya berada di seluruh dunia.
And thousands of people are being saved each week.
Ribuan orang terselamat pada setiap minggu.
Throughout the world.
Di seluruh dunia.
It's still going on.
Ini masih berlaku.
God is still building His kingdom.
Allah masih lagi membina, mendirikan kerajaannya.
But we're seeing a church right here, the very beginning in Jerusalem.
Kita melihat di sini ada satu saja berjemaah di Yerusalem.
And now it's worldwide.
Sekarang sudah menjadi di seluruh dunia.
So always remember this.
Kita harus senantiasa ingat hal ini.
That even in our part, the growth is very slow.
Sungguh pun di tempat kita sendiri itu mungkin pertumbuhan itu lambat sekali.
Worldwide, God is building His church.
Di seluruh dunia pula Allah sedang mendirikan gerejanya.
So here then are the hallmarks of the early New Testament church.
Jadi di sini terdapat sifat-sifat penting mengenai jemaat purba itu.
Here are the fruits of what really happens when the Holy Spirit is working in a community.
Inilah hasil apa yang terjadi waktu Roh Kudus bekerja di kalangan orang percaya.
So when people confuse you about the power of the Holy Spirit,
jadi sekiranya ada orang lain yang cuba mengelirukan kita mengenai kuasa Roh Kudus,
come back to Scripture.
Kembalilah ke Alkitab.
Test it with this outpouring of the Spirit here in Jerusalem.
Ujilah ajaran Alkitab itu dan bandingkan dengan apa yang terjadi.
And see how it links with these fruits.
Lihat bagaimana kuasa Roh Kudus itu ada kaitan dengan hasilnya itu.
Does it make the people want to learn from the Word of God?
Adakah ini menjebakkan mereka ingin belajar dari firman Allah?
Does it make them a caring, praying, united church?
Adakah jemaat itu semakin prihatin satu sama lain?
So these are the principles here.
Ini adalah prinsip-prinsip utama terdapat di sini.
There was a steadfast commitment to truth. They were a learning church.
Mereka bertekun ingin belajar.
There was a steadfast commitment to fellowship, Christ-centered affection.
Mereka bertekun komit kepada kesatuan dalam Kristus.
Steadfast commitment to the Lord's Supper, a remembering church.
Komitmen kepada perjamuan Allah, perjamuan Tuhan.
Steadfast commitment to prayer, a praying church.
Dan komitmen tekun kepada doa.
There were a God-fearing church.
Mereka itu takut kepada Allah.
There was a steadfast commitment to each other.
Ada komitmen kepada satu sama lain.
They were a united church.
Mereka itu satu jemaat yang satu.
There was a steadfast commitment to hospitality.
Mereka itu ramah tamah.
There was a steadfast commitment to praise.
Mereka memuji Tuhan.
And there was a steadfast commitment to witness.
Mereka juga ada komitmen terhadap menginjil.
And there were a growing church.
Mereka itu satu jemaat yang bertumbuh.
But there was a steadfast commitment to realize that it was God, the Lord, who is adding to the church.
Mereka juga ada komitmen kepada kepercayaan bahwa Tuhan Allah yang menyebabkan jemaat itu bertumbuh.
So this morning we've gone back to the foundation.
Jadi pagi ini kita kembali ke dasar.
We've gone back to the beginning of the early New Testament church.
Kepada fondasi gereja purba.
And these are the principles we need to look to.
Prinsip-prinsip yang harus kita perhatikan.
May the Lord bless this message.
Allah memberkati kita semua.